In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, please be seated. Well, let's talk today about Christian family values. Now, that's something that we hear a lot of. We hear it a lot in rhetoric, in politics. We hear it a lot from the pulpit and in everyday language. It's a phrase that gets thrown around an awful lot. And everyone seems to have an idea in their head about what Christian family values means. And I bet that if I asked any two people in here about Christian family values, I would get two very different answers about what are Christian family values. No matter what our idea of what Christian family values are, I bet that none of you would probably give the same answer that was in today's gospel lesson. Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brother and sisters, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Yikes. This is a difficult passage. I mean, no one wants to hate those who are closest to them. And then there's another problem. The other problem is that while Jesus said this, if we look at Jesus' life and teachings, it does not fit. I mean, Jesus himself seemed to have a very close relationship with his own mother. Even at the cross, Jesus commended one of his disciples to care for his mother. If you look at the healing stories in the gospel, so many of them deal with family relationships. Jesus healed all kinds of family members upon other family members' request. He healed Peter's mother-in-law, the centurion's daughter. And then, if we look at Jesus' teachings, what does he use as examples? He uses family relationships. So Jesus himself seems to not advocate hating family members. So what's with this? Whomever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and life itself. What is with that? It's shocking and it's confusing. And that is exactly why Jesus said it. Frequently, Jesus does this. He uses hyperbole in his teachings. That is, he exaggerates something to drive home a point. He does this in other places. So this is kind of along the same lines of when Jesus said, if your hand causes you to sin, chop it off. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Well, no sane person would really do that. And Jesus really did not mean for you to actually do that. So what is happening here? Why was it that Jesus felt a need to drive home this point? Well, the first line of our gospel lesson gives us a clue. There was a large crowd following Jesus. And Jesus wanted to drive home that point that discipleship needs to be first and foremost in our lives, above all else. Now, you can imagine all these followers, and they're probably thinking, hey, this is a pretty good gig. I got it made. I mean, hey, if you're sick, we got healing. You hungry? Loaves and fishes. You bored? Hey, this guy's a great speaker. And on top of everything else, we have a promise of salvation, all for just following this guy around. What a good gig. And then Jesus says, nope, not so fast. Ain't that easy. the gospel is really about transformation. It is about transforming ourselves. It is about transforming our perspectives, and it is about transforming humanity. We heard today the book of Philemon. Now you notice I did not say we heard from the book of Philemon. We actually heard the entirety of the book of Philemon. Philemon is one of a handful of books, especially among the epistles, that's very short. And so we have this short letter. Now, you might have not really gathered a lot from hearing it, but the book of Philemon is also very problematic for very different reasons than the gospel. We often think when we talk about morals and values that we tend to be of the understanding that morals loosen over time. You know, what was immoral in the good old days, in today's lax values, has just become acceptable. Anything goes. And that's a message that we get over and over. And to be quite honest, folks, it's just bunk. That idea is much more about nostalgia than actual truth. Yes, the reality is that morals and values do change over time, but they do not necessarily loosen. And the book of Philemon is a case where morals actually have tightened over time. It is about something that today we find completely morally reprehensible, but in St. Paul's time was completely fine. Nobody had a problem with it, not even St. Paul, and that is the subject of slavery. The background behind the book of Philemon is that there was an escaped slave by the name of Onesimus. And by the way, I have to commend our reader on getting all those names down. Onesimus ran away from his master Philemon. And now Paul, thinking today in our morals and values, St. Paul, being the good Christian that he was, you would assume when he encounters Paul, Paul would say, "Oh, let me help you run and hide and escape." But that is not what Paul does. Instead, Paul does something that we find shocking. He sends Onesimus back to his friend and slaveholder, Philemon. But he does send him back with a letter. And it is this letter that we have today. And we have to realize that slavery was normal in the first century. Nobody, despite what we might think of it today, nobody then thought of it was evil. But Paul does something here. St. Paul has a real gift, and he puts a line in here that changes things. And St. Paul says, "Perhaps this is the reason he was separated from you for a while, so that you might have him back forever. No longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother." See, St. Paul is very gifted at this, and you'll see this happen time and again in his writings, where he will take what is the values of his day, a social norm, and he twists it and he turns it on its ear. Paul changes the paradigm from what one always knows to something completely new and different. In this case, Paul turns the paradigm of a normal relationship for his day, that of a master and a slave, and he makes it something exceptional to that of brothers. (Clears throat) how do we experience this kind of transformation? How do we change the focus onto what is really important? How do we put Christ at the forefront of our lives? These are very important questions, and these are the questions that were asked of the followers of Jesus and asked of Philemon. In the case of Christ's followers, how do we put aside everything to follow Christ? In the case of Philemon, how do we put away anger and norms to see someone we don't care about as a brother or sister? Changing our perspective is not always obvious, and we're probably not going to do it on our own. If not challenged, we will always see things in the same way. Imagine if you lived your whole life in one room with one window. And if you look at things only out of that same window your entire life, you will assume that the entire world is limited to your backyard. If we only look at things the same way that we have always seen them, we may never see that great world that God gave us for what it really is. And it's not an easy process. It's not one without challenges, and it certainly can be a painful process. Experiencing transformation requires us to lay aside old paradigms. It requires us to question our long-held values, who and what is really important to us. And sometimes we have to adjust our priorities. But let's not misinterpret the gospel either. Of course, family is important. But when we deal with family and friends, those kinds of relationships, we also have to recognize that those relationships are ones that we benefit from. They're reciprocal. We give and we receive. We look at the relationship that Philemon had with a slave. It was one that Philemon benefited from. But the gospel calls us to something different. The gospel calls us to think about living without always benefiting. The gospel calls us to be completely selfless, to have relationships for the benefit of others and not for ourselves. And this is the kind of transformation that the gospel calls us to see the world as we have refused to see it before, to live in a way that benefits others and not ourselves, and to value most that which we have not always valued before. Amen.